Our text today is from Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. Jesus is speaking. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their heart. And evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for those who come to me and hear my words and put them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent that struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But those who hear my words and do not put them into practice are like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, may your words be spoken, heard, and acted upon today by us, your people. Amen. The more I study Jesus, the more I realize what a radical shift he made and expects in this world. Jesus said, "The greatest among us are the servants. To gain life, you must lose it." Jesus taught that the widow who put 2 copper coins in the offering plate was richer in faith than all of us. He said, "If someone wants your coat, you're to give him even more than he asked for." Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In other words, whatever we think is natural isn't God's way. Whatever makes sense to us won't make sense to God. The entire life and ministry of Jesus was backwards like that. To show that he was God, Jesus came as a little baby. To show that he had the power of eternal life, Jesus let himself be killed. The more I study Jesus, the more I realize how mixed up we have things in this world, how all of our ranking systems are fatally flawed. And as Christians, those of us who try to behave like Jesus does, it seems we spend most of our lives trying to unlearn the things that make sense to us so that we can finally hear and comprehend and make our own God's ways. So that when someone hates, we forgive. When someone persecutes, we rejoice. Jesus taught us to reach out when we feel like hitting. He taught us to kneel when we feel like knocking something down. He taught us to pray when we want to yell. He taught us to give when it seems there isn't enough. When was the last time you did something completely different simply because you did it God's way? You see, what we believe about God should make a difference in how we live our lives. I remember the morning I was getting ready to go to Bible study. And there on the table was a note from Wayne. The night before we had had a fight, I don't remember what it was about, something trivial, the things that husbands and wives always make time to fight about. But knowing that I would be leaving for Bible study, Wayne's note there said, "Where in your life are all these Bible studies you're going to making a difference?" And as I stood there holding that note, I heard Jesus say, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" You see, what we believe about Jesus should make a difference in our lives. Sometimes it does. Laurie Beth Jones tells about meeting with Jim, a billionaire who flew across the country in his own Learjet, to meet with her and to get God's guidance about what he should do next after selling his company. Jim didn't know what to do now that he was no longer driven by the demands of his business. What would you do if you could do anything you wanted to? If your bills were paid, or if you chose to live in such a way that your bills were much less, if you could do anything you were called to do, what would that be? I might even ask, why aren't you doing it? That's where Jim was, wondering which way to go. Instead of spending his life making money, he now felt God calling him to give it away. And how best could he do that? That was the purpose of this cross-country meeting. So this rich guy seeks the help of this life coach, and he greeted Laurie like this. I did a little preparation for our meeting. And out of his Italian leather briefcase, Jim pulls this blue spiral notebook like you could get at Walmart for about $2, the ones with the divided sections in it. And he opened it up there to the first section, and in ink, Jim had written these words. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Flip over a couple sections. They're written in ink. Remember to honor your father and your mother. This highly successful businessman who had conquered the world had come to let the Bible tell him how to live and what to do with his money. Jim was like a little dimple-kneed kid on the first day of school with his notebook in hand, ready to learn, ready to be told what to do and even how to do it. No wonder Jim had been so successful in the first half of his life. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, those who are still willing to learn, for they shall inherit the earth. And Jim had. What Jesus said was true, and because it's true, it should make a difference in how we live. For Jim, it did. What is God calling you to do? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If we were to take a poll in this room of favorite Bible verses, someone would say they cling to Jesus' promise, I am with you always. It's a favorite when we're frightened, when we're facing something new. It's a favorite just to get through the day. When I worked, before I worked for the church, and even now, sometimes, some days I try to imagine Jesus literally with me all throughout the day. If Jesus is with me driving in the car to work, how would my driving change? Would my tension level come down? Would I let that guy cut in? If Jesus were sitting right next to me in the office or in my classroom, how would my conversation change? How would my attitude change? How would my work output change? How would my attention and care for other people change? Because suddenly, with Jesus sitting right there, it's not just about our work output anymore, is it? Sometimes I really do try to imagine Jesus sitting right next to me. So I laughed when I read of the Duert Design Company in the Silicon Valley. They are connected, even though they have many facilities and many people who work off-site. They have webcams, video conferencing. They even have life-size cardboard cutout pictures of their off-site staffers. So let's say John is in Chico working on a project with someone in San Jose. John's cutout picture is in the office of that staffer in San Jose. There's a designer, a lady who works. She's got a webcam going in the office every day, all day. She can see who's getting donuts. She can see who's too long in the bathroom. She can see everything. She can comment on the office just as if she were there. And the corporate gets blessed with a day-long mugshot of her sitting at her computer working away. I know this sounds a little bit like Dilbert gone bad, but the whole point of all this connectedness is to help people feel and remember that they are not alone. How would your life change if you had a constant reminder that Jesus is always with you? You might not want to use a life-size cardboard cutout, but what might you use? Are you worried about what other people will think if you have a Bible verse on an index card there on your desk, if you carry it into meetings with you? Are you worried about what your coworkers will think, or your children, if they see you pick up the Bible or if they hear your voice of prayer? You know, we will talk on our cell phones in front of anybody about anything without any shame whatsoever. And yet we're embarrassed that someone might hear us pray? How ridiculous is that? Is Jesus Lord or not? If we really believe Jesus is with us, it'll make a difference where we work, where we live, where we worship. God wants the world to know who He is by how we live. And as God's people, sometimes we're just going to be different. Two teenagers were arrested for vandalizing a synagogue. They had painted swastikas on the doors and the windows. They had turned the tombstones over in the cemetery. A very wise judge turned the sentencing of those two people over to the members of that congregation. Before taking any action, the elders did some research on the background of those two kids. The 15-year-old boy, a high school dropout, had never known his parents, had been raised in a series of foster homes. He found a white supremacist hate group on an internet search, and he joined the group because they gave him a sense of family. The 15-year-old girl was also a dropout, was partially deaf. She came from a broken home with two alcoholic parents, and when she was asked, she admitted she didn't even know what the swastika symbol stood for. So this is the sentence the elders of that synagogue came up with: 100 hours of community service each, repairing and restoring the damage they had done. Both were required to finish their GEDs, and both were required to write a full report on the impact of the Holocaust on the Jewish people. The girl was fitted for a hearing aid, and the boy had his two front missing teeth repaired. Both kids were taken in by separate Jewish families to mentor and raise. At last report, the boy was preparing to convert to Judaism, and the girl was beginning college, seeking a degree in education. God's people at this synagogue reflected the restoring love of the God we serve. A little love, a little understanding, a little insight can go a long way in changing the people around us. Who are the critics in your life? What do you know about their backgrounds? What do you know about the needs and the hurts of their heart? How could you start helping them, loving them, showing them who God is? What we know and believe about God should make a difference in our lives, even when people mistreat us. Even those horrible torrents won't shake us from our foundation. Jesus took the 600 laws of the Torah and 3,000 years of tradition and boiled it all down to one simple bottom line: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus makes it so simple. Love God. Love God's people. So if you want to know how you're doing on God's scorecard, just look at how you treat others. God doesn't want our sacrifices. He wants us to show His mercy. If you want to count something, count the number of wrinkles on an old man's hand. Count the number of tears on a child's face. Pay attention to the details of those precious people around you. God's not going to be counting our assets when He comes back. He's going to count the number of phone calls you made to sick neighbors, the number of meals you cooked, the number of friends you loved when it was hard to love them, the number of yards you mowed, the number of sacrifices you made as you mucked houses and drove nails, as you held hands and prayed prayers. God wants to know how much of His love you spread around while you were here. Love God. Love God's people. What are you doing to show God's love in this world? You don't have to be a billionaire to make a difference in this world. Watch this video. If a bagger can make a difference in the tone of an entire store, then you can make a difference too. Wherever you work, wherever you live, even here where you worship. And we don't just have the words of some consultant to guide us who flies in and then leaves. We have the words of life from the Creator Himself, who is with us always, every minute of every day. Today we've heard about a lot of people who do something different just because of what they know and believe about God. But the point is not their stories. The point is our story. This church's story, your story, my story. As we listen for God to direct our lives and then as we do what He says do. God wants the world to know who He is by how we live. And from the billionaire to the beggar, in ways great and small, what we know and believe about Jesus can make a difference as we live this world spreading God's love. The question is, what is God calling you to do? And are you going to do it? I pray, Lord God, you give us the courage and the strength to do your will this day and in the future. Amen.